This is Local Views, first time in April, '09. Part of the mission of Local Views is not just to keep an eye on the news in the media, but also to keep an eye on the news of the media. The fact that President O is a bit of a media geek adds some interest, but it's really because the ways we get and give information are changing and evolving faster than mold right now. The data processing jocks are coming up with new gadgets practically every day, and it takes a careful look to discern which ones might actually be good for something more than a week or two from now. The electronic grip on the movement of information is so tight that print media all seem to be writing wills and buying caskets. Those of us who still like to hold our reading material in our hands find it ironic that newspapers are making their exits by diligently reporting their own demise. It's reminiscent of the rise of television. Everyone acted as though radio suddenly was obsolete, but it didn't take too many years for radio to adjust and find its proper place in the world. It took about 50 years before the internet came along to put television into its proper place. Newspapers will survive too, but they'll suffer before they settle into a new groove. One thing's for sure, never again will a news reporter use a printing press to scoop anyone. A couple of disjointed media notes from recent stories. A syndicated columnist named Kathleen Parker from the Washington Post is really confused by new media. She wrote that video games would become the most important vehicle for news and information. If that's not misguided enough, a guy named Harvey Levin got some attention for an incredible speech at the UC Berkeley School of Journalism. Levin is kind of the king of paparazzi journalism, and with a straight face he tried to tell serious journalism students that chasing Hollywood celebrities and philandering politicians around is serious journalism. But he made one remark that smells like truth and wisdom. Quote, "The internet and TV are collapsing into each other, and if you figure it out, you win and you dominate." Indeed. This is a media world where you can buy a refrigerator that does your grocery shopping for you, so the idea that everyone is a journalist doesn't even sound all that progressive anymore. But new gadgets aren't the cause, they're just the symptom. Telephones that fit in your pocket have been around for decades, and cameras that fit in your pocket have been around much longer. No telling why it took so long to put the two into the same package, but suddenly everyone has a phone connection open at all times, talking, texting, or taking pictures. The pertinent question, if everyone's a journalist, where will the editors come from? The story of the week has to be the Detroit Shuffle. The big cheese at GM tucked his multi-million dollar severance package into his pocket, tucked his tail between his legs, and hit the road, presumably in a Cadillac. Apparently, the byproduct of being too big to fail is that you're big enough to be fired by the President of the United States. If the President can fire the boss of GM, where was he when the bosses at AIG were dividing the loot, even while the company was said to be a virtual subsidiary of the U.S. government? What's left of the mainstream media also told us that while Obama was firing Richard Wagoner at GM, he also was ordering Chrysler Corporation to shut up and take the offer from Fiat. Never mind trying to remember how long it's been since Fiat sold any cars in the U.S. Try to remember the last time a president ordered a major manufacturer to sell the factory. Desperate times, desperate measures, but the administration's approach to the American car industry actually assumes that very old-fashioned idea that there's something inherently virtuous and economically essential about building, selling, and driving a lot of cars in the U.S. Isn't that what got us into a lot of this mess in the first place? Being able to get a new Chevy when the old one wears out is a pretty good idea, and having the option to make it a Ford instead probably helps too, but trying to sell everyone a new one every year is just as obsolete as getting around on a horse. Besides, when we get through bailing out GM and Chrysler, who's going to want to buy those corporate welfare cars anyway?